Well, you can surf the internet, you can watch TV, even open up a magazine and read it. No matter what you do, it won't take you long before you find something about a health concern. They're just kind of everywhere. Cancer, heart disease, weight issues, exercise. You find these topics all over the place. Now, who do you think is most concerned about health issues? Who is at number one in their minds? Would it be youth and children? Or is it more older folks that are concerned about health? What do you think? Yeah, I think you're right. You're correct. When I was young, I wasn't very concerned about heart disease. I didn't stay up late at night worrying about cancer. But that leads me to another question, to a statement, actually. I'm running low on health. Who is more likely to say that phrase these days? Young people or older folks? Now, it would stand to reason, since older folks are more concerned with health issues, that it would be elderly folks who would say that phrase, I'm running low on health. But in reality, that phrase is actually said over and over again by children and teens. Did you know that? And why older folks out there might be scratching their heads trying to figure this out, most young people might be there nodding their heads saying, yeah, running low on health. Yeah, I've said that before. In fact, some kids may have even said that this week. And those of you in your 20s and 30s could think back to when you were younger and said, yeah, I said that too. How could this be? Why are young people saying this? How can it be true? How can they be saying today, I'm running low on health? Well, because that's what you say when your health meter drops as you're playing a video game. I'm running low on health. Growing up, my friends and I, we wasted so much time and money playing video games. And as we'd get low on health, we'd scream, oh, I'm running low on health. Because it wasn't like today. I got to explain this to the young gamers today. Back in my day, we had arcades. These were places that you would go, and when your health bar went low, you had to pop in another quarter to keep playing. 25 cents each time. We didn't have that respawn button like you guys do. That harmless little continue button. We had to pay money to keep playing our game when our health bar got low. But as you played these games, your enemies would come and they would touch you or they would hit you or somehow your health bar would lower. And I remember panicking at times. My health is running low. I'd check my pocket and I was out of quarters. Was there enough time to run to the quarter machine and to get back as the 10, 9, 8 went down? And once your bar hit zero, you lose. Game over. In video games, you can tell how healthy you are. All you have to do is look up in the corner at your health bar. Wouldn't it be nice if in real life you could see your health bar above your head and see how you were doing? I think it would be great to see how much health you have. And I think it would be awesome to know other people's health bars too. I think it'd be incredible to not only be able to see our physical health, but to see our emotional health as well. An emotional health bar. Just imagine how different life would be if you could see health bars or symbols. Because many times, if we're honest with ourselves, we hide our emotions. We hide our pain. We don't show that to everyone. In a video game, when someone hurts you, your emotional health takes a hit, or your health bar goes down. But is it much different in real life? When someone hurts you in real life, your emotional health takes a hit too. So how are you doing today, folks? Is your health bar running low today? A t-shirt there says, I'm not feeling well today. Not too many hearts left. In a video game, you have to watch out for enemies' weapons. Common things like guns or swords, but even crazy things can hurt you and take your health away. Things like pies or turtles or walking mushrooms can hurt you in a video game. You have to be careful of those things. What lowers our health in real life? What weapons do we have to be most concerned about in our day-to-day life today? Do you know what the most powerful weapon is on the planet? Does anybody know? The most powerful weapon, the thing that can really hurt people. There's a lot of things we could guess. There's guns, and we talk about guns a lot. There's missiles, tanks, jets, bombs, nuclear bombs. They're all very powerful. But the most powerful weapon on the planet, you don't even have to have a license to carry it. I got a lot of good guesses going. There's a weapon that's out there, and there's no age requirement to possess this weapon. It's a weapon that has led to untold damage on this planet since life has began. Would you like to know what this powerful and dangerous weapon is? I have one here. I'm going to show it to you. So you guys who are running the camera, you may want to zoom in a little bit. Now, where did I put it? It's around here somewhere. Oh, yeah, there it is. I found it. I want to see? You want to see what it is? Okay, you said yes, so don't complain. Here's the most powerful weapon on the planet. Maybe you didn't catch it over here. Did you see it? Not too many times you get to stick your tongue out at church. Your tongue is perhaps the most dangerous, the most powerful weapon on this earth. If you don't believe me, let's just ask the Bible. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And none of us received a license to own a tongue. To become a black belt in karate, you have to train. You have to learn. But many of us have never been properly trained on how to use our tongue. But God's word does give us warning and instruction on how to use our tongues today. How many of you have heard the old rhyme? You can probably finish it for me. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words or names can never hurt me. It's a catchy little saying. It's what we tell ourselves when someone's been mean to us. But friends, it's not true. Words can hurt as much as or more than a fist. It's a catchy saying, but it's not even biblical, because God's word tells us that tongues are dangerous. If you have your Bibles with you today, I want you to open up to a couple verses in the book of Proverbs. Great book to read through. I try to read it every January to start the year. Turn to Proverbs with me. It's chapter 15 and verse 1. Proverbs is in the Old Testament, right after the book of Psalms. And let's see what God's word tells us about the danger of your tongue. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And you turn a few chapters with me to Proverbs 25, in verse 25, verse 23. A north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. Verse 15 as well. "By forbearance a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone." It's a catchy phrase, but it's not biblical. A tongue, a word, can break a bone. How we use our tongue can cause other people's health bars to go down. James describes this to us in James chapter 3. So if you turn with me to the New Testament now, James is a small book that hides in your Bible. If you turn to the back and you go after the book of Hebrews, you'll find it. And James has a lot to say about practical Christian living and the tongue. So James chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 4. Let's see what James says. James chapter 3 and verse 4. It says, "Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, but are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire." In verse 6, "And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison." Now watch verse 9. "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be this way." James warns us about the danger of our tongues, our words. The eyes of the Seventh-day Adventist world were focused on San Antonio this summer. The GC session where important decisions were made that many people were passionate about. And I listened to the conversations leading up to the GC and afterwards. I read the conversations on Facebook and Twitter. And there were some uplifting voices. There were some encouraging words. But my friends, the majority of the conversations online went downhill very quickly. After listening to all that dialogue, I'm not sure what James would have done if he'd still been around these days. But I imagine if James had been reading that, if he'd been listening to it, I just imagine James doing a face palm, shaking his head, and saying, "I tried to warn you." Tongue attacks are everywhere in our world today. Rarely does someone call me up and say, "Pastor, I need some counseling, I need some help because I was physically attacked this week." That doesn't happen a whole lot. It does happen, and when it does, it's serious. But most times, people don't call me up because of that issue. But pastors spend hours and hours counseling someone who was hurt by a misused tongue. Tongue attacks are everywhere. And bullying is everywhere these days. Only a lot of bullying has changed from my days growing up. See, when I was little, the bully used to be just a physical brute. But now bullies, they come in all shapes, all sizes, and all genders. And most of the bullying these days happens with the tongue or with the keystroke on the computer. Parents, be very careful when your child enters into the world of online. Guard them and help them. So many of us do not realize the power that our tongue possesses. But I actually learned it early in life. This may come as a surprise to some of you. But when I was growing up, I was not the strapping physical specimen that you see before you today. That's pretty shocking, I know. But when I was little, I was actually a skinny kid. Can you believe that? So I knew I was not going to be the strongest guy or gal on the playground in terms of muscles. But when it came to the power of the tongue, there were few who could match me. And I wish I could say that I always used my words and my tongue for good. But I didn't. But when I hurt people with my words, I began to realize the power that they carry. And just like Peter Parker learned what the Bible had been saying all along, that with great power comes great responsibility. was years later, God helped me and taught me how to control my tongue. And I praise the Lord for it. And I ask him every day to continue to control this weapon. My friends, God has given all of us a powerful instrument in our tongue. And today I believe God is still trying to help us to control this and to use them for good. So if you will, turn with me to our scripture reading for today, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. And let's see what Paul says about our speech, about our tongues. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Paul says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." Now, verse 30 is a very popular verse. We hear a lot about grieving the Holy Spirit and don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We talk about it a lot, but that powerful warning in the Bible is sandwiched right between two verses about speech. God says, watch your mouth, hold your tongue. Verse 29, let no corrupt speech come out of your mouth. You say, but Pastor, what if I'm angry? You know, what if I'm just really angry? It's okay for me to say mean things then, right? No, don't do it. You say, but Pastor, what if I'm in the right? What if there's an altercation going on and I'm in the right? Then it's okay for me to just turn it loose. Not even when you're right. Sometimes the worst thing we can be is right. In church or in family or anywhere. Be careful when you're right. Let no corrupt speech come out, but only what is necessary for edifying. Paul says, use words that lift up rather than tear down. And the ultimate purpose in Christian speech is to impart grace to the listener. I'm not talking about just always giving platitudes and not speaking the truth. But we have to always speak the truth in grace and love. Verse 31, Paul says, put away evil speaking, bitterness, clamor. Instead of all those evil actions, look at verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. My friend, you hold a weapon. An instrument that can bring life or can kill. We can lower that life bar. And I wish each of us could see our life bars, just like in video games, so that when we say something wrong, so that when we say something cutting, I wish we could see that other person's life bar lower or shrink. I wish we could see that hurt that we cause inside. Maybe we'd follow Paul's counsel a little bit more. Maybe we'd be a little more careful. Careful with our words. Careful with others. Careful to watch that life bar. In a video game, when a bad guy hits you, your life bar goes down. It shrinks. But also in a game, you can be there and you can actually, older folks, you may have to talk to the young ones. They can confirm this is true. But when you're playing that game, you can sometimes eat something. Or you can find a health bonus and your life bar will go back up. And you can keep playing. It would be so great if we could see life bars of others. That way, when we say something encouraging, when we say something forgiving or something loving, we can watch their life bar go back up. Wouldn't it be great if we could see those life bars? How will you use your tongue this week? To lower or to raise life bars? My first summer job, most of you know, was working in the games department at Adventureland. We would work double shifts, 12-hour days, sometimes 7 days a week. This was before I realized that God did not build any of us, even teenagers. He didn't build us to go at that speed or that pace. He actually builds us to go for 6 days and then to take a rest. But I didn't realize that at the time, so I was just working, working, making money. But after several weeks of working constantly, what I didn't understand from the Bible, my body told me. And I finally spoke to my manager. I said, I need some time off. I had another coworker. His name was AJ. He was the first guy, one of the first guys at Eventualine that was really nice to me and kind of took me under his wing. And AJ found out that I was getting burned out, and he was working a lot too. He was actually working two jobs. But he said, hey man, I'll take some of your shifts. I'll work them for you. Nice guy. Then one night, a group of us were hanging out, and after work, we'd always go across the street and we'd hang out at Burger King because it was one of the few places that was still open. And it was a night just like any other night until someone new came into Burger King. Someone who knew AJ, but none of us knew that guy. And apparently this new guy and AJ had a problem over what most young men have a problem over, a girl. And we were all sitting there in Burger King, and this guy came up from behind AJ, and he started to berate him, pushing him, just talking trash. He kept threatening AJ, telling him, come on, come on, big man. Let's go settle this outside. Come on, you coward. Let's go settle this thing outside. And he just kept going and going and going, and AJ just remained quiet the whole time. And I looked around and no one else said a word. No one did anything as this guy was just hurling threats at my friend. So finally, I had had enough. Now, this guy was bigger than me. Not too shocking. And AJ was also bigger than me. But like I told you before, I knew my power came in my tongue. So this guy was just going on and on again, and I figured that I had to help my friend AJ. So I piped up, why do you want to go outside so bad? He's been saying, let's go outside, let's go outside. Why do you want to go outside so bad? Everyone froze. And the bully looked right at me and did the typical, what did you say? I don't know what it is about bullies. They're just hard of hearing because it seems like they always say, what'd you say? So I repeated myself, why do you want to go outside so bad? But this time I continued, why do you want to fight outside? Why not stay in here? I mean, think about it. It could be a whole lot more fun. You could throw things around like trays and food. You could jump off of chairs and tables onto each other. Why do you want to go outside? Man, it would be so much more fun to fight in here. Everyone held their breath as AJ's bully blinked. And then he looked right at me. And he said, look, first of all, if I wanted to talk to you, I'd be looking at you. I interrupted and said, you're not looking at me? What's wrong with these crazy glasses? And at that point, everyone at the table just busted up laughing. And the guy just wandered off after that. He just left. AJ turned to look at me with a smile. He said, you are the skinniest crazy guy I've ever met. And I smiled back and said, you're welcome. That guy was lowering AJ's health bar, doing it emotionally and wanting to do it physically. I want to see these guys fight. So I found a way with words to end the altercation, completely diffused the situation. He was no longer scary after that. God has given us an amazing power in our tongue. But none of us have the power or the ability to see someone else's life bar. So it's up to each one of us to ask God every day to help in every instance. Lord, help me to care about others and to care about their life bars shrinking. Lord, take control of my tongue. Make it an instrument for encouragement, for peace, and for grace. And maybe God can use you to change one life and then maybe change the world. But friends, it will not happen unless we spend time with Jesus. Unless we take his word inside our hearts, words of life will never escape our lips. Will you give Jesus control of not just your life, not just your finances, not just your future, but will you let Christ control your tongue too? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, that you want to change us, not just on the outside, not the things we wear, but you want to change the inside. And Lord, with your power and your help, we can even change the way we talk, the way we treat each other. So we turn to you now, and we give you our most powerful instrument, our tongue. Take control of it, Lord, because we can't. Change it, Lord. Tame it, because we can't. And then use our tongues to change this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.